Welcome back to Evolution of a Snake. I'm Zach.
And I am Madeline.
And today we are sharing our thoughts, our feelings, our delusions, our predictions on the upcoming Eras Tour docuseries and final concert movie. How did you feel when this was announced, Madeline?
Well, I have something to say, and I would like to spread this far and wide. Everybody said, fat chance, you're dreaming, it's never happening. When they announced that they were, like, announcing something on Good Morning America, everybody said, get over it, you're never going to get what you want, there's no such thing as the Eras Tour documentary. And I said, you'll never keep me from dreaming. You'll never keep me from dreaming. I wanted it more than I realized I wanted it. I think it was like one of those situations, you know, when you pretend you don't want something. So you're like, I don't even want it so that it'll actually come. That's what I was doing for the past, like, I don't know, 3-4 months, because it really did start to seem like that was never happening. But I got my wish. The way that I felt when I saw it was this mixture of, like, of course, and also, like, utter shock. I was like, of course she's doing that. And also, like, oh, my God, I can't believe she's doing that.
The part that really gagged me was that it's a 6-part docuseries. I was like, okay, so we're actually getting the tea, and also a whole brand new movie. Not just, it seems it's not just Tortured Poets. It's the whole shebang.
We deserve
once
it.
Again.
We deserve it. Us Swifties, we deserve it. We've been through hell, double hockey sticks, and we deserve 2 concert movies for the same concert. I'm saying it.
Hell was the journey, but it brought me heaven. We've got the Gold Reputation bodysuit in 4K. I needed to see it.
We needed to see it badly. I'm so happy that we get another edition of the Eras Tour movie. I actually need to rewatch the original. I haven't seen it since, I don't think I've seen it since I saw it in the movie theater.
Saw it in the theater. It's long.
It is. You have to really buckle in. It has to be on a day where I need that level of comfort from Taylor. That day will come sooner than you realize.
Comes all the time.
I need to rewatch that. And I kind of want to do, like, a compare and contrast, like, once both are out. Like, how are they different? Obviously, the lists are going to be different, but, like, do they look different? Are they shot differently? Did she choose to keep in things that she, you know what I mean? So it's going to be very interesting. And I can't wait.
Can't wait to see the fan side-by-sides of the original movie versus the second movie. Something that I thought was interesting is that she had a whole new director for this second Eras Tour movie, which is super intriguing because I remember I read an interview with the director of the first Eras Tour movie, and he was very polite about it, but he basically said that it was a nightmare. He was like, it was one of the hardest things to film. It was really difficult to capture because of, like, how big it is. And it basically all needs to be focused on Taylor the whole time. So, like, the challenge of getting all the cameras where they needed to be and being able to show the scale of the stage and the dancers while not intruding on the show, like, with making it as least disruptive as possible, because they can't have cameras on stage, pretty much. That was a really interesting nugget. So it's curious to me that she was like, you know, someone else have a go at it.
He complained too much. The lady protested too much. You see what happens? You lose the gig. I'm sure that there's, I don't know. I don't want to say anything too bad because I loved the original Eras Tour movie.
I thought
it
was great. Notes.
I thought it looked amazing. It was shot amazingly. I think they did a really good job, et cetera, et cetera. But I do think it's like, well, let's try something else for the next one. Let's see if we can make it kind of, you know what I mean?
It looks the same. In the trailer, I was like, it looks like the regular Eras Tour movie to me, just with Tortured Poets added in. We need it down bad more than anyone could ever understand.
Yeah, I need Who's Afraid of Little Old Me in 4K now.
I'm gonna
it's
be
not funny anymore. I'm ready. I'm ready to receive the Who's Afraid of Little Old Me feast. And you know what else I really want? So nobody else is going to say it. I'm going to say it. We need the Eras Tour album on streaming. If I can't buy it physically, can I stream it? Is it so wrong to ask for that? Is it so big and greedy? If it is, I'm big and I'm greedy. And I want Eras Tour live versions stream.
I thought you were the Tay capitalist.
I am. No, I am the Tay capitalist. I want the
box set. I'm saying to Taylor. I thought you were the Tay capitalist. Where's the content?
So am I. I'm the Tay capitalist. When it comes to this kind of stuff, I do tend to be Tay capitalist. I'm like, I want the physical edition. I'll buy it. Does she not want my money? I thought this was gimme more.
I thought
ready
it was money please.
And waiting. I like when she does money please when it's something I want.
Exactly. Like the Eras Tour stuff. She can pretty much money please me to death with that. Like, I was accepting money please for the live versions of the surprise songs. Where's the surprise song album? Where's that?
Hell yeah. Oh my God. Can you? Because I know everybody knows there's high-def recordings of all of them. That high-def recording of How Did It End? That's not a joke to me. That's serious. That's my family. I need more. I need more. No!
That's my family.
Yeah.
I saw, so I've been kind of like slowly catching up on all of the various mashups that I missed. There are so many that I missed. One that I listened to that rocked my goddamn world recently was Fresh Out the Slammer and You Are in Love. It gags.
It's serious. It's incredibly serious. There are so many mashups that I've forgotten about. They have, because to be honest with you, towards the end of like this particular leg of the tour, I was like, pack it up. I was tired every day waking up and seeing, she mashed up. It's nice to have a friend with style on the piano. I was like, okay, I've had enough of this. So a lot of them like went over my head because I just became, I don't know, burned out. Tay too much. Tay overload, I guess. It's funny to think about that now because I'd give anything on this day in 2025 to wake up and see It's Nice to Have a Friend, Fresh Out the Slammer mashup. I would be like, this is the greatest day of my life. But back then, I took it for granted. So I really, there were a lot of mashups that I didn't even compute because I was at this point of Tay overload.
Well, let's talk about how the surprise songs that we're going to get from Vancouver aren't even close to like the best ones that she's done. She literally did in the concluding Toronto show before she started filming for Vancouver, You're Losing Me and How Did It End? Why? And Mr. Perfectly Fine and Better Than Revenge. Why would you keep that away from us?
Hold on. I didn't know that. See, it's one thing to have like okay surprise songs. It's another to know that you were one day away from having divas in your face.
It's wrong. It's so...
How Did It End and You're Losing Me?
It's so wrong.
I
so
didn't
the songs
even know
we have,
that existed.
Well, now you do.
No!
Now you do. We need
this
it.
It's wrong. I want it now.
Here's what we could get if she's going to do what she did with LA and have like all of them recorded. Haunted and Wonderland and Never Grow Up and The Best Day on the first night. Never Grow Up and The Best Day is like your nightmare mashup. I love that for you.
I'm streaming.
We're streaming.
I'm streaming.
Then we have I Love You, I'm Sorry, and Last Kiss with Gracie Abrams. We didn't ask. Why do they keep doing this to us? They keep doing this to us.
Now that's interesting. But continue. What's the last? Is it New Year's Day and A Place in This World?
They keep doing this to us. The Torture Poets Department and Maroon was the second to last night. She loves Maroon. She's obsessed with that song.
Well, I understand her. I'm going to let her keep saying it.
But we have that one recorded already, is what I'm saying. We have it. Period. So it's like, can we come up with something else? And then the actual last show, we got A Place in This World and New Romantics. Girl, put your shoes on.
A Place in This World and New Romantics?
Yes.
That can't be. I thought it was A Place in This World and New Year's Day.
No,
she
no,
did
no.
New
the
Year's
next
Day on
one,
the last show.
She did Long Live, New Year's Day, and The Manuscript. Ah.
A Place in This World and New Romantics. I guess I kind of get it.
Oh, it's a force. It's a force.
She was over it. Let's call a spade a spade. If I thought I was over it, I can only imagine what she was. It's just like too much. I honestly, if I can speak, and I know that we talked about this so many times when it was actually happening, but I'm bringing it up again. I don't care. I kind of wish that mashups were a special thing that happened every now and then instead of something she forced herself to do every single night. It was way harder, I think, for her to come up with a mashup than it was to just do, let's do How Did It End?
And
I think
also
we
sometimes
should open
it's
the
like you're botching a diva by forcing it with this other song that doesn't fit with it. They might be two divas that just don't belong together. She did Ours and The Last Great American Dynasty. Explain that to me. Explain it.
I had a marvelous time ruining everything. What do you want me to say?
It's like if you want to do meth map on all of them, you can. But some of them make sense. Like, how
some
do you,
of them are
You're
great.
Losing Me and How Did It End? Thank you, God. But we'll never get to hear it. I hate it here in the lakes. We needed that.
We needed that badly. And she knew that we needed that. Thank you so much for giving that to us on, what was it, like the 20th version of the downloadable online Torture Poets Department. Yes.
Again. One more time, please. Just keep doing that. I'll buy Showgirl. I'll buy more Showgirls.
If I can get Eras Tour live versions, where's Chloe or Sam? People are waiting. Me is waiting. She played it once. That's the only time it's ever going to be played. Watch this space. It's one of those songs she's not going to be playing again. So we need it. And you should be campaigning for this. I'm talking to everybody right now.
Mm-hmm.
Get on your horse. Write the petition. And let's go.
I thought you liked to speak now.
Apparently not. Apparently they only like to speak up now when it's something like Matta Healy. What about speak up now? We need Chloe or Sam live version recorded and given to us on a Torture Poets variant for some reason coming out in 2025. Thank you.
That would be a lot more useful for all of us, I think.
That would be a lot more useful, I think. Well, now that we've ranted and raved about surprise songs, all the surprise songs we're not going to get in the documentary. Mm-hmm. So what is New Year's Day mashed up with?
Long Live in the Manuscript.
Oh, why is the manuscript there? I guess I get it, but it's like you
the
forced
story
it.
Story isn't mine anymore. What
I
does
understand
it, mean?
It.
You know what bothered me or scared me and intimidated me in the trailer? It was like all that's left is to close the book. I was like, don't close the book.
I guess I didn't think about it. All that's left is to close the book. She hasn't closed the book yet. She hasn't
don't
closed
close
the
it.
Book. Leave it
what
open.
Does it mean to close it is my question. I'm worried.
A lot of, well,
I'm
you
scared.
Know, people like to speculate. She likes to be melodramatic and say stuff like that. And, you know, like, I'm moving on. The story is over. Now I don't have to do this anymore. And people go, she's leaving. She's never coming back again. This is her final album and we're never going to see her again for 10 years. And it's like, well, or she's just
meanwhile,
being her usual self.
Orange Door.
Orange Door. And I was so mad because I was like, you guys are ridiculous for thinking that this is an Easter egg. But she's always doing that to me. I say it's
why do we even doubt
thing.
It anymore? Why do we even doubt it?
Because they're wrong 90% of the time.
It's true. They
the
are
thing.
Wrong 90% of the time.
A broken clock is right twice a day. But it's like they're right once and that's it. We can never doubt them ever again. And everything really is an Easter egg. But they're wrong 2,000 times a day.
Yeah. It really is wrong more than right. And the things that they choose to latch onto as well are always so funny to me. But that's neither here nor there. What are we excited about from the Eras Tour docuseries? And what do we predict is going to happen?
So now here's the first question that I don't think we have a proper answer for at this time. But correct me if I'm wrong. When did filming actually start? We don't know.
We don't
do we know.
Know
that? We do not
we
know that. If
don't
I
know.
In my mind, I would think that she would have been filming sporadically from the beginning. Because I really need putting it together. I don't just want, okay, here's all the shows. Like, I want the process of making the set list. And that requires it to be before you've even set foot on the stage. So, like, that means we've had to have been filming for months in advance. That's what I kind of need. So
here's what I'm worried about with regards to that. The footage in the trailer of like the BTS stuff mostly seems to be her deciding which surprise song mashups to do, which was much later in the process. And also the rehearsal footage seems to be the stuff that we got in the I Can Do It With a Broken Heart music video, which is basically her rehearsing for Torture Poets. So I'm like, that is not far back enough to mine own liking. I wonder if after the Eras Tour movie was such a success, then she decided to pick up cameras. Because I can imagine, as we know, beginning of the Eras Tour, horrible time for her personal life. Like, just terrible. I can understand why we would not want to have the camera in our face when we're down bad crying at the gym. But it is an essential part of the Eras Tour story. And if there isn't, like, the beginning part of the tour there, I'm upset. And also, can you have the beginning part of the tour without addressing the heartbreaks that were going on?
I'm asking the question. And like, this is the thing, because so much of like what I want is like, I want to see why did you pick these things for the set list? If I don't see it, like if I don't get to see the process, can you sit in front of the camera and explain? Why did you only pick one song for Speak Now? People are asking and we deserve answers.
Oh, we want to know. And then why did you cut Long Live after you added it back in? Do you hate your fans? Do you want us to die? What's the real truth about that? We've been asking for a while and she hasn't answered.
Well, I think let's just and continuing to play pretend with the set list. Like if she did only start filming with Torture Poets, then at least we kind of get to see her rework the set list and like make those choices and how to do this and how to do that. But I want her to look in the camera and talk about how she said she loves Evermore and Evermore is just as important as folklore to her. And then she did what she did. I want her to explain that. I kind of want to be judge, jury, and executioner on that one. Why did you do that?
Why also is 'Tis the Damn Season like the one piece of lost media from this tour? Why?
And you know what? It gagged me every time I saw it. It gagged
me. One of the best
bad
parts of the show. I remember the first time we saw it. We looked at each other and we said, This sounds amazing.
It sounded so rich. I'll never forget how rich and lush it sounded. As the trees were coming up, I was like, it's Christmas. Even though I was literally so hot because I was being like confined into this like torture chamber, I was like, it's snowing. It's Christmas. 'Tis the damn season. Write this down. It was amazing. I would give anything to go back to that moment where she's swirling around the stage. I feel like 'Tis the Damn Season was the August of the Evermore set list. I said it.
It was. And we wrote it down. We wrote it down. She was twirling.
Nobody talks about it anymore. We need to like riot for this.
Mm-hmm.
We wrote it down. Did you? I'm asking.
Did you? Did Taylor? She didn't. We know that she didn't.
In fact, she erased it is what she did.
We have some special guests in the trailer. It looks like she recorded Florida with Florence and the Machine. Again, I'm like, why? When we don't have 'Tis the Damn Season. There's no point.
But I'm going to open the case and say I am ready, and you know what I'm going to say. I am ready to receive the Ed Sheeran Mega Medley. They can tomato.
I'm ready too. Sweerin I like. Sweerin.
I'm ready too.
I like.
I love it. What did they do? They did Endgame, Thinking Out Loud. Correct me if I'm wrong.
They did Thinking Out Loud, Endgame, and Everything Has Changed. So close if they had just gone
right
to Thinking Out Loud.
I would have given anything. If that had happened to me, can you imagine if we were there and instead of getting Gracie? Like, honestly, I'm not even hating on Gracie like that at this point, but like, I would take the Ed Sheeran Mega Medley over Gracie any day.
Oh, any time day. Of the day
Everything
or night.
Has changed again live in front of my face with both of them. Yeah, I'm taking that.
Now, riddle me this, because there were other great surprise songs in that stretch of London shows. You can pick one, okay? You have that mashup, Death by a Thousand Cuts and Getaway Car with Jack Antonoff, or London Boy in its entirety.
Ed Sheeran mega mashup.
Or So Long London in its entirety.
Ed Sheeran mega mashup.
You are a sick woman. She's unwell. Rare behaved women rarely make history. Well behaved women. That's you.
Right. I know my truth. There's something so, I'm like nostalgic whore for Sweerin. There's something about their friendship and like the songs that they've made together. It just kind of makes me feel like I'm 19 or 18 again. And it makes me really happy. So I it's kind of like a personal, like.
What's also Endgame?
It's
your
also
favorite.
Something was born on the 4th of July. Nobody gets it except for me and Ed Sheeran.
And you don't get to hear that line pretty much unless Ed Sheeran is there.
Right. It didn't happen on the Reputation Tour. It did not happen on the Reputation Tour. And we needed it.
One person in that stadium needed it. One person in the whole stadium needed to hear that. And it's a miscarriage of justice that the one person didn't get to hear it.
I think she also did Endgame on the night that she played the first mashup ever, which was Is It Over Now and Out of the Woods. Watching on the live stream.
That was crazy.
And
that
then we
really
did the,
was crazy.
We did the emergency live. And we were like, I miss doing that. That was so much fun when we would just be like, I can't believe
it. I know.
We never get to do it anymore.
She's not moving like that.
That's okay. Whatever.
It's sad. So, but you know what? We're rocking.
So, yeah, insight in how she put together the set list. And also, I am really interested in how she chose the surprise songs. How did she keep track of it is what I want to know. I bet you it's something as simple as there's a notebook and she wrote it down.
She had the sticky notes with all of them written on it in the tour commercial. I think maybe you didn't see it.
I did. No, I guess I just didn't clock that that's what it was. I think you didn't see it. It's killing me. Maybe I didn't.
After
no,
you
I
were
I,
like,
listen,
does it look the same as the Eras Tour?
Listen.
How does she keep track of this? I'm like, girl, Miss Mama.
Listen, I did not clock that the wall of, I don't know what I thought that was. I guess, yeah, but like, how are you transporting that? Because post-it notes fall
not
off
her problem.
All the time.
Not her problem.
Not our problem. And it wasn't Taylor's either.
She's got some Taylor Nation intern that whose job it is to write out on fresh post-it notes every time in the exact same order from memory. No pictures allowed because it could leak. That is someone's job. My dream job.
My dream job too. Honestly, easiest job in the world. I'd take it any day of the week.
I'd make amendments. I'd be like,
yep. she wouldn't remember. There's so much going on in a day. I could make anything I wanted to happen.
She'd be like, hey, I've done dress like 80 times. I'd be like, oh.
No, you haven't.
That's interesting. No. This is the first time you're ever saying it.
You're really starting to lose it, huh?
This tour is getting to your head.
This tour is getting to you, huh, girly?
I really want to see, speaking of like stuff that happened before the tour, she talked so much about the physical conditioning that she had to do to prep and get into it. And there's kind of some footage of her in the gym. I really want to know, like, what was her fitness routine? What was her like pre-show meal routine? Because it's a delicate balance of like, not eating too much right before a show, but also like fueling yourself enough so that you have the energy to do the show. Like, I'm really interested in like the mechanics of Taylor as a human being, because I feel like on the Eras Tour, she was just this like radiant pop diva. And every so often we would see like little pieces of evidence that she was a human being that was struggling, like in Singapore when all of her outfits just were like soaked through, and in Rio when she was doing her breathing. But other than that, it was like, I think there was so much effort that went into making it look so effortless. And I think that's a good thing for everyone to know and see.
Yeah, me too. I definitely think that we need to see a lot of her pre-show behaviors. I know she's talked about it like kind of loosely though, like, oh, I lay in bed for 3 days straight and I don't do anything. But it's like, yeah, but what are you really doing? You know what I mean? Like, are you thinking about the show? Do you totally shut it off? Are you in the gym every single day, or do you give yourself days off? You know, what is the food schedule look like, et cetera, et cetera? Like, I'm interested because I want to know what it really took to do a show like this. And I always think about in Homecoming when Beyonce talks about like how she was eating and like the workload. I always find that to be a really interesting testament to like commitment and tenacity and all that kind of stuff. So I'm interested in that. I'm also likewise interested.
And we know that like, yes, Taylor's not a Beyonce in terms of the level of choreography that she's executing, but also live performance doesn't come as naturally to Taylor as it would to someone like Beyonce. She's often talked about like how difficult it is for her to learn choreography. And the Eras Tour choreography, the choreographer gave an interview that talked about this, was particularly challenging because they couldn't have any marks on the stage. So how did she learn how to orient herself on that stage every single night? Like, how did she know where to go, especially while performing and giving? And like, there were a couple times where she almost missed the rising block, like things like that. It's that must have been like such a finely tuned, annoying thing to learn how to do.
And it must have taken a very long time. I'm also curious how long the rehearsals actually were. I'm curious about when did the idea pop into your brain from I should do a tour to it should be the Eras Tour to it's going to be like this, it's going to be a 3.5 hour show to I have to include everything to this is what the stage is going to like. I want to know all that stuff. Even if we don't get footage of her actually planning it, just getting her to like explain it would be incredibly interesting to me, because I think there's so much that went into it that we as fans, we walk into the show, we go hand heart up and we sing and we dance, but like we have no idea the network, like the beehive that like builds this stage and makes the show happen beyond the people that we see on stage. Like, it's crazy for me to think about what goes into a show like that. I want to know.
The costumes alone. Like, I want to see, I always love to see the sketches that designers send her because they're always so cunty. So I'm really keen to see the cunty sketches of her outfits. Like, were there different iterations of the bodysuit? Like, was there back and forth? Like, I'm sure she had multiple fittings. There was one point in the tour where she kind of got them like recut and redesigned a little bit. That is super interesting to me. How did you decide to start adding in all the different variants? Because they kind of appeared over time. It wasn't like from the beginning of the tour, there were all of the different variations of what she was going to wear. Even executing something as like seemingly straightforward as 1989, when she decided to have a custom blue version of everything that she was wearing. That is like, how do you execute that? Remember, we used to joke about there being like a city under the Eras Tour stage. I need to be there.
I need to be there bad. I want to move in. I am moving in imminently. And we could see when Maddie and Taylor used to kiss in between songs. It's one of my all-time favorite Eras Tour memes. I'm obsessed with it. It's still funny to this day.
And he lets her bejeweled.
He lets her bejeweled. See how he walks behind her? He lets her bejeweled. Say it. No, this is what we need. And
we need
again,
to know.
Like, not to bring it up again and bang the drum, but I am sort of curious to see if there's going to be any mention of that kind of stuff, like, in the documentary. I mean, I can do it with a broken heart.
It's so physically taxing that I can imagine just getting yourself in the right headspace to go and do that show for multiple nights in a row on a regular day. That's a difficult mental ask. When you are down bad crying at the gym, how the hell do you show girl? That truly, I don't care to hear about the particulars of the breakup. I really don't give a shit about like the details of whatever happened. What I'm interested in is like, I would love to see a moment of vulnerability from her where she lets us in a little bit and shows us like how she managed to summon that energy and that life force to go on and give the shows that she did. Like that is, to me, just as impressive as all the physical training that she did, if not more. So I would love, I hope, we know how she is though in terms of like controlling access. So I think there's a very real possibility that we only start hearing about the personal element of it when it becomes la la la.
And you know what? I think that too. I think that too. 100%. I'm not expecting a Katy Perry part of me tour moment, not even remotely. However, if it were to happen, just know I would be clapping and cheering like a seal because it's very, very interesting to me. The fact that there were so many shows that happened where nobody knew a goddamn thing. She was up there looking completely and totally normal.
We didn't know. She was doing You All Over Me and I Don't Want to Live Forever and we didn't clonk anything.
No, and I also feel like when people are like, well, I knew. It's like, yeah, you knew that maybe her and Joe might break up. You didn't know that she was literally about to go into, you know, psychosis over Matty Healy. You did not know that. Don't act like you did. Nobody knew. She literally did not. If you watch the videos now, maybe you're like, oh, I do kind of see. Oh, I kind of noticed. But it's like, in the moment, hell no. We were in Chicago. God damn it.
We were in Chicago, a scene of the crime, mere days later.
She was playing I Don't Want to Live Forever with a straight face, and we didn't think anything of it.
We said, damn, there goes our second surprise song. We were too focused on ourselves. And sure, you know what? I think that's all right.
We were too close to the situation. Call a spade a spade.
It's interesting because, you know, her last documentary, Miss Americana, was not received well in the sense that the strategic vulnerability that she did choose to show us was interesting, but there just wasn't very much of it. It was like 3 or 4 2-minute clips of her in a car, and it felt very staged. This seems to be like following her around. Like the moment where she's drawing her bath and taking her eyelashes off, I'm like, okay, so we're gesturing at being open. We're gesturing at being intimate and vulnerable. It's Taylor Swift, so that only ever goes so far. But I wonder if she has learned the lesson that a certain amount of strategic vulnerability, just pushing past a little bit what you're personally comfortable with, can really yield a lot of like public sympathy in your favor. Because let's face it, Taylor's not exactly had the best couple of months in terms of like public relations. Yes, she's been very successful, but I think people are really more than ever before abstracting her as this thing and not a person. And this docuseries is a really good opportunity to be like, I'm a person.
I completely 100% agree. And I also think that the bathtub scene in the trailer is probably my favorite part of it, interestingly enough. And I think it's because there's so many aspects of the Eras Tour that are larger than life. Even when she's training, even when she's just like talking about it, it's like larger than life. To see her in the bodysuit in a hotel room.
I was like, you don't take this off.
No, you
go home with the bodysuit on?
What do you mean there's a bath being drawn? What are you talking about? It's the most interesting part to me. So obviously we're going to get like a lot of behind the scenes stuff, but like, I'm really interested in that kind of stuff, you know, like alone in the hotel room, reflecting and thinking and talking. I'm very interested. Yes, vlogging. We need some fearless era style vlogging expeditiously.
Get your digicam up and hit record and let's see what Mama can come up with. I think it's going to, I'm also excited for cat appearances. Meredith is not alive to my knowledge, so I need to see her.
I want to know if she brings all three of them everywhere.
Meredith seems like a problem.
She seems like a problem. She seems like maybe she stays home sometimes. I know.
Isn't she like 15 now too? She's getting up there.
She's an elderly kitty. Olivia is what, 11? And Benjamin is what, 7, 8? They're old. They're all kind of like.
I'm like, damn, my little kids grow up so fast.
My little kids grow up so fast. But yeah, I definitely want to see the cats. I want to see how they exist, like, in her orbit. You got to take them everywhere you go. I mean, that's just all there is to it. But are they, like, at the stadium? No way.
Well, they can't come international, I don't believe. I don't think they can internationally. For some places, not for sure. To Singapore, for sure, she would not be allowed to bring her cats. Justin Bieber tried to bring a monkey to either Singapore or South America, and that didn't go well.
Well, yes. Well, I remember when my brother went to work on the farm in Hawaii, he brought his dog with him, and they were like, it was a big freaking deal. They had to give him all the pokes. He had to have, like, the paperwork, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah. You can't
There's another person on Taylor Nation whose job is to get all the kitty passports in order.
Right. And that must be nice.
Things that I think moments that will be interesting to see if she addresses in the documentary. First and foremost, Travis has talked a lot about how difficult Singapore was, specifically physically. I think because it was so many shows, it was six and they were more or less back to back. That to me, I think, was the most physically demanding shows that she did alongside Rio. Rio was very difficult, but it was two shows, I believe. Singapore was six and it had the humidity factor, which is crazy. And he was talking about how hot the stage was on top of how hot it is outside. I almost died attending. So I'm going to be so curious. And also Singapore mentioned, it didn't look like it in the trailer, to be honest. But like, to me, that's also a moment where I'm like, this would really humanize you. Like, this is a challenge that you undertook, like doing this show, not adapting it at all. Like, you would think maybe she would change some of the costumes, like getting in that All Too Well heavy ass sequin jacket.
I can't believe she did
20
that.
Minutes. You're insane. She's crazy. And like in the in-between moments, you could see the dancers coming on and holding the back of her hair up and putting ice on the back of her neck. I'm like, this is serious.
It's very serious. No, she's not messing around.
The paramedics are there. And on a serious note, obviously something very heartbreaking and tragic happened in Rio. And I can only imagine that that is like Taylor's worst nightmare come true. And a real dark side of the tour, a horrible, horrible moment. I do wonder if that's going to be addressed in the documentary. I can see why it wouldn't be, but I also think that maybe it should, because it is a really important part of what happened. It wasn't all hand hearts and friendship bracelets, unfortunately. It should have been, but it wasn't.
Yeah, I'm not sure about what they're going to do in regards to that particular situation. I would think if there was going to be any mention of it, Taylor would probably be kind enough to ask the family if it was okay if that was mentioned. But if I was the family, I'm like, would I want this to be discussed in this? It would depend on how it's mentioned.
The context.
You know what I mean? The context is everything, because the trailer purports it to be, and it's like, well, we don't, because there's hours of footage probably. So it's like, what's it going to be like? I'm not sure about that. I don't know how they're going to deal with that. My gut is that it's not going to be mentioned at all. That's just kind of like my superstition.
I think so. I think that's probably right. But I also think that it's important that we, you know, we're Taylor creators with a platform. I think it's important that we remember that that happened. It was horrible. Shouldn't have happened. It was tragic. And it was a part of the story. It was part of the Eras Tour story. But yes, totally understand why that wouldn't be included maybe. But yeah, the Eras Tour, it does seem like it's very focused on hand-harding. And I'm like, can we do 6 hours of hand-hard? I can.
And here's the other thing. Are they hour long? Does the trailer say that?
Actually, I don't know.
This is a question. Are they half an hour or are they an hour? Or are they 45 minutes?
It better be an hour.
Three?
Better be an hour. I want six hours.
They could be half hour. And you know what? Half hour is still 3 hours.
No,
I mean, you got to say
something.
Don't
say that. Don't say that. I want an hour. I think if she's going to do it, she's not the kind of person that half-asses stuff. Like, I think she's going to go whole ass into this.
Oh, she better. Because I want an hour too, because if it's only half an hour episodes, and there's technically only five because the last one would be the movie, correct? Like the
I thought
the
it
show.
Was six parts plus the movie. You see how we know nothing about it?
We haven't seen the trailer. We didn't watch the trailer. We didn't watch it.
Well, you didn't watch it, and I watched half of it, apparently.
I didn't,
and then we decided to come on
right
here
before this. I will tell you that
and
for
talk
free.
About
I forgot
it.
To revisit it.
So this is literally what she says about it. Of we wanted to remember every moment leading up to the culmination of the most important and intense chapter of our lives. Who's we? So we allowed filmmakers to capture this tour and all the stories woven throughout it as it wound down. Okay, that's actually very important. That language, to capture this tour and all the stories woven throughout it as it wound down. I think this is supporting my theory that she picked up cameras properly to film once Tortured Poets was getting added in and everything was fine, and it's her reflecting. She like narrates us through her reflecting. It's not like play by play as it happened. That's my intuition from this language.
Most likely, yes. I think it's going to be this realization that it's coming to an end, which I would think, I always think about this, like what, I know what it was like for me as a fan for the Eras Tour to end, and I'm sure many people also know that it was kind of crazy. I can't imagine what it was like to be one of the dancers, to be a member of the band, to be somebody who worked on it every single night, or to be Taylor, and like what it meant, and like now that it's over, and even just like thinking about it, even 3 months ahead of time, it ending, I would find it scary.
Paralyzing. You're
yeah,
part of
paralyzing.
This global phenomenon, and it's like it's going to leave this huge vacuum in your life.
And also, actually, we haven't even mentioned this. The cameras showed up around the time that she was doing Showgirl Behaviors, like when she was recording Showgirl.
That's what I was thinking. I think this is going to be, she would not take the opportunity to not plug the album. So I think we'll probably be seeing some behind the scenes footage of it. I don't need
we
to.
Never
I
get...
personally don't need to see the creation of Cancelled. I'm just saying that. I don't need to see the BTS. I don't need to see her coming up with the lines. I'm good. I'm actually good.
I don't think I've ever gotten like a behind the scenes of a song that I was like, I need to see how this was created. What do we have? We have Creation of
Getaway
Me.
Car.
We have only the
Creation
Young.
Of Me, not Creation of Me.
With the most man. Footage that we, the Reputation videos are getting.
They're good.
Like, I will say that. Like, that's probably my favorite ones out of all the ones that we've ever had. We also had some for Speak Now that were pretty cunty. The Story of Us one.
The orchestra.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool.
But we need it for Folklore. We need it for Evermore. We need it for Tortured Poets. We're never going to get it. We are going to get The Creation of Wood. I'll tell you that for free. So...
And we didn't need it.
I'll be tuned in. Like, I'll be sitting there watching it because I do think it's interesting. But it's like, why is it never a song that I want to see created? Ever.
It never is. It's also never something that's actually that interesting to create either. It's something that is, like, really simple and makes her look silly. Like, the Me, this is the first
young.
Single, is one of the most delusional things she's ever done. That's one of the most delusional things.
The things that she said about it, too. That's in the same scene that she's talking about, I've never had a burrito before. Miss Americana was, like, not real. It wasn't
no.
real.
And there are so many opportunities for similar moments on Eras Tour docuseries.
Oh,
but
I'm
seated for it. Also, something to me that I'm personally upset about is I'm hoping that there's at least one episode devoted to the Taylor's versions. Please, can you give us some more insight into what it was like to re-record everything? Half of it was done when she was on tour, too. So, like, can we get some content, please?
Well, there is something to be said. Like, she released 1989 and Speak Now while the Eras Tour was ongoing. And the whole Taylor's Version project is intertwined in the existence of the Eras Tour. That's a whole part of it. So I definitely think it should be mentioned. I'm just wondering, like, do you think at that point, like, as the end of the Eras Tour, they were starting to be in talks about buying the masters back?
I think so, for sure. Because
so
the
I
momentum
think,
of, like, everything kind of slowed down about the Taylor's versions then.
I think that maybe that will be in it. And like, that's interesting. But I still kind of, like, the fact that they're not finished is like, okay, well, maybe someday she'll do something about it. Like, maybe the 20th anniversary of debut, she'll do, like, a What Was the Taylor's
like
Version project.
Just
but
tell
the,
me what you're going to do.
Yeah, but I'm kind of like, man, there's really are so many things that are associated with the Eras Tour. And it's like, what is she going to say? Because the trailer is not very informative. I know we haven't really seen it, apparently. But there really isn't a lot to, like, it's kind of just, like, flashes and like you're
of
not
cool scenes.
Yeah, cool. Oh,
which is good because like, we like to be gag. She doesn't like to give away the gag. She never gives away the gag.
Right. So I kind of have a hope that it's going to be more in depth than previous documentaries, aka Miss Americana.
AKA Miss Americana, if you've heard of it, which I'm sure you have. I think also, I really just want to hand heart. Like, I want to feel fully immersed in this. And when it comes to the Taylor's versions, here's the scene that I want, okay? Picture this. We're in the studio. She's with Jack Antonoff.
I'm seeing it.
She's going into the booth. She's got her headphones on. And she's got a sheet of paper in front of her. She's looking at it. She's listening. There's the metronome going. And she goes, look what you made me dir. Look what you made me dir. And then she takes the headphone off and goes, I don't think I can do this. And then we talk about the Taylor's versions. That's what I want to see.
I don't think I can do this. You
this
guys,
doesn't feel right.
Cut the cameras.
Cut the cameras dead ass.
I can't do this. I think we should have it. I think we should see the struggle to create Reputation Taylor's version. It's a part of the thing. When she came out in that gold Reputation bodysuit, I said, Reputation TV, here we come. I keep seeing videos. It's like one of the most repeated videos that I see. I've seen it from every angle possible in the stadium at this point. The moment she came out, it's new! It's new! Oh, what I wouldn't have given to have been a fly on the wall. That was one of the huge moments. Talk about it. Why did you do that?
Was it one of the moments where the crowd was the loudest, I noticed. In those videos, I was like, oh my God, the roar of the crowd when she steps out in a bodysuit. That to me was like, we've all lost the plot.
There was a video of somebody who's in the parking lot, and so they can't see what's going on, but like you can hear Ready For It and like bow, bow, bow. And then like the moment that the lights go on and she's on the big screen and you can see it, it's so loud. It's like, what was it like to be? You have to have your earplugs in. Otherwise,
well, why didn't we announce? This is the thing. It was like, what's the point? Those poor people, they were like, we're getting something huge.
Exactly.
And all they got was a gold bodysuit. And to be fair, it gagged. We needed a green bodysuit.
And we've been saying it from day one. I know that red bodysuit was musty as hell. I know it was.
It stank bad in there.
I always wondered, did she have multiple of it? But then remember when
probably.
Got a hole underneath the arm?
I bet also treated
like dirt.
It was. And I think I'm curious to hear if she has favorites. Like, does she pick like on the day of? She's like, I'll wear this one today. Because I'm sure they need to be dry cleaned in advance. So like she probably has to pick in advance what dresses she's going to wear when. So I'm kind of like, what was your favorite one? One that, like, the ones that we didn't make enough use of were the pink outfits. The pink bodysuit for Cruel Summer, I maintain, was the gaggiest one. Seeing it up close, it was so Gorgina. And the pink enchanted dress, too. Those were, like, two of the best outfits, and they did not get enough airtime.
Unfortunately, I think she really liked that ugly purple Speak Now dress. The layered one.
Why would I expect anything else?
I know how she is. The enchanted dresses. I can't believe that some of those were real. Some of them were so beautiful, and then two of them were so ugly. It's like
remember
crazy.
The lace one that she was like bullied into retiring?
That was like not.
it was
so bad. But the pink one, I love the blue one. It's still my lock screen, ladies and gentlemen.
The blue one is gorge.
It's still my lock screen.
My question is, why don't we have that dress in purple? You didn't want to do crystals in purple color? Hello?
Somebody, so now we said it. But wasn't there a cream one, or am I imagining that?
There was a bagel one. Everybody called it the everything bagel dress. It was gold.
Was it the one that had the flowers on it?
No, that was a separate one. Basically there were three crystal ones. There was a pink one, there was a
pink,
gold one,
blue.
And there was a blue one.
Gold, that's the one I'm thinking of. We got gold in Chicago.
Yes, I got it in Singapore too. That was a good
one. It's Gorgina. Absolutely Gorgina.
Up close, the ones I got up close were the pink and the gold.
Gorgina. I think I got pink in Seattle, if memory serves me correctly.
She picked the hideous one for Dublin too, the same one that she wore for the movie, I'm pretty sure.
Go figure. But another thing that I really want to see in the documentary, I want to see stuff about like the fans. I want to see impact of the Eras Tour. I definitely think they're going to go into 2 billion, blah, 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 like, bum, bum, bum. But it's like, how about we get into the emotional how about we get into the heartfelt? I'm not necessarily saying there's going to be fan interviews, although there could be for all we know.
Maybe chats knows? And reacts are in it. That wouldn't
and
surprise me
be.
At all.
They should be. They should be. And
let,
they should
let
be.
Them
1,000%.
In.
Let them speak. Let them speak. But yeah, maybe there's fan interviews and we just don't know. I would be very happy with that because I think there's such an emotional like community element to the Eras Tour. I definitely want to see stuff about that. But I also want to see stuff about what the Eras Tour meant to Taylor and like what it was like to connect with fans in that way, what it was like to get up on stage every night and do it, what it was like. I want to know what it was like. We don't have any information on that.
It was her first tour as well where she was like not present with the fans, as in we were so used to her meeting people before and after the shows. That obviously was not going to be possible with the Eras Tour. But I think that also made her feel kind of far away almost a little bit, which added to the mystery and the magic of the Eras Tour. But she has not done her I Love My Fans stuff for a while. She really has backed off that. She barely ever mentions the fans. So it's kind of like, I would like to see some hand-holding for the people that spent thousands of dollars to come and see you. I think we will get that for sure. She's a gracious diva. And one of my worst fears is that they've somehow got, if I better not be in this movie, any even in the background, like I know that I was a mess the entire time that I saw the Eras Tour. There's no way that I don't look fugly as hell at any show. So my worst nightmare would be like even being in a background shot. Please blur my face out.
Well, I'll tell you one thing for free. Your arms are definitely going to be in it at some point.
Well, they were going up to the sky. Up to the sky.
Up to the sky.
I was the, what is it, incredible mom where her arms just like extend. That was me.
Yeah, so your arms will be in the shot. I would cheer. I would cheer.
My hand heart?
Yeah,
that's okay.
Hand heart up. I'm going to be
Let's
really
leave the mug
curious
out
to see.
It.
Well, we know she was there in Wembley. And
yeah,
we...
I don't remember her filming in Singapore. So I actually don't think she filmed anything there. Also, Chicago, I don't remember her filming anything. Dublin, I don't remember seeing cameras, but there was a sign that said filming in progress.
You never know what they're going to take. You never know when you're going to get caught on Smack Cam.
I wouldn't
mind
anything.
Being caught on Smack Cam Wembley night one. I liked my outfit. I think we were rocking out. You know,
we were rocking out. That's what I'm worried about.
We went.
That's
I feel
what
like
I'm
we
worried
talk about
this
all the time. London Night One was a show for the ages. I feel like everybody, even if you only got one show, like that should be the show where you felt like I'm walking on sunshine. That show,
really
start
there
was
to finish,
nothing like that. We got
there
to
was
see
no
Haley.
Feet hurt. There
we
was no trouble
see.
Getting home.
It was amazing. We were on that train and we were cheering the whole way home. Wembley is kind of. It's like organized. It's just massive. So it's
but
like.
But it's the coup. Compared to Soldier Field, which is where they want to execute you on your way out.
It's not funny.
No.
Chicago.
I'm never,
do- what,
I'm never
doing,
ever
no.
darkening the doors of Soldier Field ever again. You would have to literally march me in with a gun to my head. I'm not going.
I'm not doing that.
I don't care who it is.
This should be like, there's probably a blog somewhere of somebody who reviews every stadium. Let's take a peek at that and see if we can find the best American stadium.
Apparently Cincinnati is amazing. So next time,
I believe it.
See
it's
you
always
there.
The random places. I believe it 100%.
It's always the random, like
heard-
MetLife is a disaster.
Well, yes.
It's like fairly easy to get in and out like Wembley, but it's just so big and it's in the middle of nowhere that like getting to and from is a commotion, let's say.
Also, Pittsburgh, randomly. I'll be there.
I'm listening.
I'll go to Pittsburgh. I've heard Pittsburgh is a nice place.
I'm not going to SoFi, and I'm not going to MetLife,
no.
And I sure as hell I'm not going to Soldier Field ever again. You will never, ever catch me.
This is the thing about, like, L.A. Like, yes, you live in L.A., you have access to all these amazing shows, but then you have to go
drive.
To the shows. Like, it's
get
chaos.
In your car.
I understand the appeal of, like, I get to go to all the, everybody comes here. Like, it's amazing. But then it's like, you know, there's something to be said about when you're in Denver at the Sunday 1994 show and there's 30 people there and you have the time of your life. There's something to be said. That's all
I'm saying. When you go to Amsterdam to see Addison Rae.
Yeah, amazing. That venue.
That was one
was
of my favorite
coup.
Concert experiences ever just because of how intimate the show was. I mean, obviously, Addison was incredible, but like, the venue and the experience that we had seeing someone who we both believe is going to be really big in such an intimate venue, that was crazy. And we had the
and
perfect
you know
view.
What? We'll remember it for the rest of our lives.
I had the time of my life.
Doing
money is everything with you.
fighting for Addy Bucks in the sky.
That I didn't get.
Yeah.
I didn't get because the goblins were gobbling them up. But you know what?
You got one right out of the purse. You got one right out of the purse.
Straight from the bank. I went to the bank.
Precisely.
Well, I think that's kind of, those are my overarching thoughts on what's going to happen. Do you have anything else you'd like to add or mention?
The only thing that I'd like to add is I wonder if they're going to do anything about Tay carpooling. I think we should bring it up. But the thing is, the venues didn't like it. The venues hated it. They said, don't do it.
Tay carpooling. I was like, tailgating. Surely that's what it was called.
Oh, carpooling. Tailgating. No, Tay carpooling is wrong. What? No, I'm sorry.
I was like, was there a thing when people were carpooling together?
Tailgating. I'm sorry. I don't know the lingo. I'm not really.
Well, we didn't do it.
I'm not really like a, you know, I never had to do it. We almost did. Let's not act like we're so much better than it. We almost were doing shadow puppets outside of Shoulder
Outside
Blue.
The evil.
Like, just know it.
Hello.
But I am curious to see if they're going to bring it up, especially that I don't know if they consider this tailgating, but in Munich, you know that hill that's right outside the stadium that always gets filled up?
The whole thing.
Surely there's going to be a segment about that. I mean, I'm sure that's going to go in the segment where it's like $2 billion made.
I want to see drone footage of the tailgating and the concert. I want to see that so bad.
And then when they say Tay flop, when they say Tay over, we've got footage. We've got footage.
We've got Tay body cam.
Tay body cam. Anything else?
That would
else?
Be really cool, actually. Tay body cam. Like her POV, she has like a headlight camera on.
But most of it at this point would be making bread.
And the people
bread.
Are so deranged. No, it's like looking into the audience at people that are like literally about to, their mouths are so open. They're about to like split the sides of their lips.
What she sees from the stage, I kind of need to know how much she can see and what she can see.
As we know, it really depends on the venue, just from our experience. Sometimes you can see a lot of people. Sometimes you can't see anything.
Well, I remember that moment in Chicago Night One during August. I felt like there was a moment. There was eye contact. There was eye, I'm telling you. It felt like I had a spotlight on me. And I think
everyone was sitting down.
Yes.
We were up.
It was like a laser. I was like, oh, she's looking. And then I had you.
I had her on Smack Cam in Dublin during Betty going like this at me. I was like, what does that mean? Yeah, no, it was like, it was kind of like a, ooh. I'm scared to see you.
You know,
here.
She's kind of.
I'm sure she saw me
contact.
And was like, again.
I'm sick of your face. I don't want to see you anymore.
Another time. Seriously. You harass me online on a daily basis and now you're in my face staring at me.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else? Any
and other I questions? Will keep doing it. Blacklisted from the Eras Tour.
I'm excited.
Me too.
I'm excited.
And don't forget, well, we should tell everyone, patreon.com/swiftologist. I don't know what Madeline's going to do, but I'm going to react to at least the first two episodes and the concert movie on the Patreon. We cannot upload that to YouTube because it will immediately get copyright struck. So got to be on the Patreon. Patreon.
I wonder what
exclusive.
I will do. I'll do something. Don't worry.
You should do the movie. You should do the Eras Tour film. You should definitely do that. That's fun.
I could do that. You never know what I'm going to do. Sometimes I zig, sometimes I zag. I'll do something. That's
Madeline's
all I can say.
You're not going to know what she's going to do. Thank you. And good night, Vancouver. Orange door. Tyler, can you put us into the orange door?